worship you, Jesus. Praise you. Asking you this. Just telling you love him over and over again. Don't worry about the music. Say the name of Jesus over and over.
We love you, Lord.
Picture him holding you.
We are your love.
Picture you laying up on his bosom.
You're the King of Kings.
Feeling all that he has. Just say to him this evening, Jesus. Reconcile me to the Father through your death and resurrection. And you gave me the Holy Spirit, Father. And you gave me your word. I give you praise, Lord. I give you praise. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. About 2 weeks ago, maybe longer, I fought it for about a week. I started a journey again into the Gospels over and over again. And quite frankly, I haven't been able to put the Gospels down. I've been going through them so much. Oh my God, I can't tell you what they've been doing to me. When I got sick a few months ago, I would read the Gospels, reading them, looking at every single miracle that Jesus performed. I was baptizing myself, putting myself there, and I received my healing. But you know what? I began to notice as he just doesn't want me to look at the miracles. I began to notice the way Jesus handled certain situations, how he would react or how he wouldn't react, how he would say and how he wouldn't say. I've been going through them over and over again. You know what else is in the Gospels? not only have I found everything that Jesus did right, and how many of you know that everything he did was right, but you have to know that he did things right as a human being. If you think he did it as God, you're going to feel that you don't stand a chance. Everything, every temptation, every trial, every tribulation that he went through, he overcame it as a man like me and you. But you know what else is in the Gospels that we can learn from? We learned last week that Simon Peter, who walked with Jesus, denied him. And instead of Jesus cutting him up with a word, he gave him a look of compassion, a look of pity, and verified, or looked at him and said, "It doesn't matter, Simon Peter, I love you so much." We found out that Jesus, at the hand of a betrayer that betrayed him for 30 shekels of silver, or 20 shekels, but either one, called him friend. But you know, going through the Gospels, I began to notice everything Jesus did right, which was everything. I also began to notice everything the disciples did wrong. Now, granted, I'll give you this. They were men that weren't born again. I'll give you that, but there's a lot they did wrong. Many times children would come to Jesus for prayer. They would rebuke the children. Two of them wanted to call down thunder and lightning and fire on people. They all betrayed him. I began to see what Jesus did right, but I also began to notice what they did wrong. And I began to have some prayers answered in my life about certain issues in my life. Think about you walking with Jesus, side by side with him. You saw him work miracle after miracle. You saw him raise the dead. You saw him extend arms. You saw him put up with suffering and persecution. You saw how he made it through trial and tribulation. And then you knew that he knew what your weakness was. Think about that. This is a remarkable thing about Jesus, my prototype. And then you knew that Jesus knew what you struggled with. How many of you in here know that Jesus knows what our weaknesses are? But you know the remarkable thing about Jesus, even from what I can recollect the best in my mind, you know the one that betrayed him? Jesus never really in public even said his name. But they knew that he knew what they struggled with. Do you know how many times in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Jesus took offense to the weakness that his followers had? Can you name? Give it a shot. How many times did they offend Jesus? How many times did he get mad at them for missing the mark? Anybody? How many times did he openly come against their weakness? Now he would say, "Ye of little faith." But to openly rebuke them for their weakness, he might have inside that inner circle, but openly, my God and my Savior knew that they had weaknesses. He knew they had them. But openly, my God, my Savior, my Redeemer, my prototype, my perfect example, didn't let anybody else know what their weakness was. You know, there's a place in God where I can know your weakness and you can know mine. and we say nothing about it. That's good, that's commendable. But there comes a place and time in Him that we haven't found that even your weakness, it's good not to say nothing about what I know about you and vice versa. It's good. That is commendable. That's 30-fold. But you know what 100-fold is? When I know you got a weakness and nothing in me whatsoever is fazed by it. That I can see you. He wants me to see you. He wants you to see me. Now that's a process. I'll give you that. Alex works with me. He knows what my weakness is. I'll tell you, my patience is like that. I know what his weakness is. But there's a place right now that I'm at where I can go most of the time. Notice I covered myself a little bit. Most of the time. And not talk about your weakness. There's a slight, what percentage? None of your business. That's commendable. But there's a place in God that I haven't found where even what I know about you shouldn't faze me. He wants me to see you and you to see me. Now believe this with all my heart. You believe with all your heart. He wants me to see you and you to see me the way that He sees me and you. We can learn from the best. And His name is Jesus Christ. I'm in the kingdom of God because God forgave me of all of my sin. All of it. All of it. And not once in the 20 years that I've been saved has He ever brought it back up again. Jesus wants me to view you and you to view me as He views me and you. It's commendable that I know something about you. I won't repeat it. But 100-fold is when you got an issue in your life and all that cries out of my spirit is pity and compassion for you because I love you. Many times recorded in the gospel, before Jesus healed somebody, the Bible says He had what for them? Compassion. Pity. Not in a bad sense. Pity. The disciples, they weren't very compassionate. But my perfect prototype, my perfect example, named Jesus Christ, I picture myself there in every situation where He could have walked in offense or offended somebody. My Savior, my God, my Lord, always walked according to the inner witness. I said, this can't be right, Lord. Some people struggle with alcohol. Some have to have more than one woman. Some have to have more than one man. Mine is, but I'm working on it through His Word and through the Holy Spirit, to show an affection towards people. But I really believe now, for the first time in 20-something years, through hours of praying in tongues, through reading the gospel, that something has been delivered to me or in me, or that's going to change. Jesus said, He who does the will of my Father is my family. Behold, my brothers, my sisters. Learn from my error. I've learned from the errors of the disciples that walked with Jesus. Learn from my error. Learn from the Gospels. Learn from the perfect prototype, Jesus. Learn. What's commendable to Him is if you have something towards somebody. What's commendable is that you keep it to yourself. But His perfect will is to purge it and get it out of you. Transform your thinking edify your spirit. And this is another thing that the Gospels taught me. If Christ Jesus, the Son of God, was led of the Spirit to the wilderness to fast, guess who else has to fast? Me and you. I have like hit the gold mine in the Gospels. Everything that I read is coming alive to me. I'm learning from Jesus, but I'm also learning by the mistakes of my forefathers. At the end of the day, my friends, it's all about love. It's all about compassion towards one another. In the 20 years that I've been saved, I've never heard Jesus come against my past errors. He might be incapable of it, because once he forgave me of my errors forever. So I would say to myself, oh, I'm Christian. How can this happen? Even saying it to yourself is wrong when you're running through your head. If anybody had an excuse to walk in the fence, it'd be Jesus, because he suffered for perfection. He suffered for perfection. Even in pain and agony, knowing the hell that was ahead of him for 3 days, even by his compassion and his love, he took one home with him at the cross. Even when he uttered his last breath, he told a sinner who's crucified with him, surely today you'll be with me in paradise, because of his love and compassion. Lord, for me and you to fulfill all that God is in us, we have to love. We have to be full of compassion as our Savior. Take note of this, that whenever, me and Alex talked about that this week, whenever somebody bothers you, and they bother you, know right there and then that there's error in our heart. Whenever somebody gets on your nerves, know immediately that we are in error. Not the one that got on your nerves. Know if you get on my nerves and I want nothing to do with you, that testifies that me and you have issues. Who said? Well, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they're making me weep, and that don't take much to make me weep. But they're showing me and convicting me and showing me how to love and how to forgive and how to be quiet and when to talk and when not to talk and what to say and what not to say. I'm going to keep going through them. Keep going through them. Praying in the Spirit. Pushing back meals. Because me and you were called to be transformed in the image of one man, and his name is Jesus Christ. The perfect, perfect, perfect example. Our perfect prototype. We don't have a right whatsoever at all. And it's been easier said than done to even mention our brother's name when there's malice in our heart. He wants you to love me and me to love you the way he loves me and you. He is that very, very perfect example of what me and you should be. I mean, the perfect example. One thing I've always said, and I'll say it again, don't ever focus on me. But if you focus on the one that I tell you about, you'll learn to forgive everybody. It is never, ever, ever, never, ever anybody else's fault. never, never, ever, ever, ever nobody else's fault. I don't care how much divorce I've seen. Jesus said, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but what comes out of his heart. Fornication, adultery, pride, forgiveness, malice. This defiles a man. He said, whatever comes from within is what defiles a man. He didn't say the circumstance on the outside was what defiled a man. He said it's what a man carried in his heart that defiled him. Unforgiveness is internal. Judging is internal. It's not external. I've made my error. After 20 something years, you figure I've known by now. Gospels of Jesus, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I'm reading them so slow, I put myself at every single situation. I put myself there in the natural here in this world where there's room for me to offend or there's room for me to take an offense. I put myself there. What should I have said? What shouldn't I have said? Should I have quoted Scripture? Should I have not have quoted Scripture? But I'm learning from my perfect, 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 perfect prototype, and his name is Jesus Christ. When not to talk. When to talk. I haven't felt this much like when I read the word, it's like it's, you can feel it working in you. You can just feel it. Transforming your mind along with praying in the Spirit, you can just feel a change. Not only am I finding everything that Jesus did right, but I'm also noting all that his disciples did wrong. Granted, they were not born again. I know that. I know that. We can learn. This holy, undefiled word here, we can learn from it. If you put your nose in it. If you put your nose in it. Read it slowly. For God's sake, if you read it, pray in the Spirit, pray in tongues, all that you can throughout the day, in the bathroom, basketball practice, football, wherever you go, pray in the Spirit. Jesus wants me to view you and you to view me the way he views me and you. How does he view me and you? With eyes of love, with a heart full of compassion, a heart full of pity towards me and you. He's not looking at my fault. He's just tickled pink that we're here tonight to honor his name. Jesus Christ is our perfect example. The perfect, perfect, perfect prototype. Who is like him? No one. He's qualified to judge me. He's qualified to correct me. And his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. It is not normal for believers to not want to hang around believers. Regardless, it's not normal. Catch this again. He wants me to view you and you to view me the way he views me and you, through eyes of love and compassion. He doesn't want me to have a spiritual legal pad and a spiritual pen writing down in my heart all that you've done wrong towards me or all the wrong that I've done towards you. He wants me to see you with eyes of love, and he wants you to see me with eyes of love if he sees me and you with eyes of love. Too much. Modern day society. People want titles. They want to be called bishop, apostle, prophet, prophetess. Whatever happened to the believers that were called bond slaves or slaves of God in Jesus Christ. And I'm done with this. And I don't know if Alex remembers this week. We have a new American. Listen to this now. This is why I'm blogging and writing less and less about certain things on Facebook. Less and less. We have a new policy where I work at. It says we can't drive our car into the building with the engine first. In other words, they want us to back up. So this is the front of the building where I work. We just usually pull in there. We park our cars. So you have four or five cars parked there. Now, we have a new company policy that everybody that works in an AmeriGas building has to back up our car. So we all back up our car. This is the front of the building. So basically, there's Main Street. There's the building. This is the parking lot. We used to come off Main Street, park our cars with the engine facing the building. AmeriGas says, we want you to back your cars up into the building. So now the trunk is where the building is, and the motor is facing Main Street. So all four of us, five of us that worked there, we backed up our car properly this particular time. We all backed them up, four or five cars in a row. Then a customer came in. I guess he noted that our cars were backed up. He probably said, my God, these people are crazy. But he saw that all five cars that were there were backed up. What do you think he did? He what? He backed the car up. My friends, actions speak louder than words. He saw what we did, not what we said. Without even saying, he saw what we did and backed up his car into the parking lot without us even telling him anything, but he saw what we did. That is what drives me crazy about everybody that blogs. Jesus this, and Jesus that. The word Jesus, the word Christian, is not a cliche. It's a lifestyle. It's a 100% complete lifestyle. People would do what we do when they see us do what we say. You want to bring glory to Jesus? It's not by what we say. You want to bring Him glory? It's not by how well we articulate. It's by how we live. And if we can't live right, then what we say is 120% vanity. That means it's nothing. It's dung. It's nothing. How we live will have a direct effect on society rather than what we say. That's why I've stopped. Because usually a lot of people, now there's some people in here that blog that I trust and that I read. I read very few, very few. I know how this certain person lives. I even advocate what he writes. We can't send society. We can't send our children mixed emotions. We can't. Because in saying one thing and doing another, we're teachers. Teachers. If I tell my kids one thing and do another, I just taught them to live contrary to the Word of God. Jesus did what he said. And what he said, he did. That's why me and you follow him. Because there is no error in his life. He is 120% perfection in every aspect of his life. Follow Jesus, my friends. Don't follow me. Don't follow your mother. Don't follow your father. If you do, they will break your heart. But if you ever set your eyes on this one man named Jesus Christ, our perfect example, when those that you love fail you, you forgive them because your eyes were set on the Redeemer. But if your eyes are set on me, on your mom, and on your dad, if your eyes are glued on us, when we fail, you'll fail because we were your God instead of Jesus Christ. It's one thing to quote Jesus. It's another thing to live Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's some stuff that I've gotten that it's a little too deep yet to teach in here. What I'm preaching you right now to you is very basic. Very basic. It's fundamentals. But Jesus wants me to view you and wants you to view me. He wants me to love you and you to love me the way He views me and the way He loves me. You know what? Jesus doesn't ever whisper to the Holy Spirit. He doesn't ever whisper to anybody in heaven, Alex is good people. But we don't do that here either, do we? Nah. Do you, Alex? Do you, Homer? Do you, Renee? Liar? Let me tell you this too before we go home tonight. Now we do need each other. But for God's sake, man, if you ever got to complain about me or I got to complain about you, first thing is to go to that person. Don't ever go to society, to an unbelieving generation, to an unbelieving person, and tell them what another believer did to you. That is the worst thing that you could ever, ever do. If we rip each other inside the kingdom to one that's outside of the kingdom, why would they ever want to walk into the kingdom, Alex? When you tell them how bad they are to you that are in the kingdom. I have shortcomings. I have strongholds. You don't know the tears that I shed at night when I miss the mark. You have no idea. My wife does. When I lay in bed sometimes and God, baby, I can't believe that. He's called you to love me and me to love you the way He loves me and you. He's called me to have compassion and pity towards you and you to have compassion and pity towards me the way He has compassion and pity towards me. That's just Christianity 101, my friends. Either it's quiet because it's boring or it's quiet because it's hitting a spot in everybody's heart in here tonight. I'm learning just like you. I'm learning just like you. But I'm not learning in the natural. I'm learning in the spirit. I'm being taught by perfection. His name is Jesus Christ. If He forgives you, if He forgives me, who are you to bring up my past? And who am I to bring up your past? When I decide to bring up your past or what you did, and when you decide to bring up mine, you make yourself a lawgiver. I've exalted myself above the Word of God. Because a lawgiver, a judge, what's he do? If all of you are on trial here and I'm a judge, I have the power to what? Huh? Guilty or not guilty? Save or destroy? James says, if you judge your brother, If you judge your brother, you have become a lawgiver. You are a judge. A judge saves and he destroys. If I judged you, I dang sure wasn't saving you, was I? If I judge you openly, and James says that a lawgiver saves or destroys, and if I judged you openly, or I went to society to anybody and talked about what you did or what I did to you, I dang sure don't want to save you. But James said a lawgiver saves, or if I'm telling somebody about what you did or what I did, I'm not trying to save you. I'm trying to say, if I'm not trying to save you, I'm trying to, if I'm not trying to save you, if I gossip about you, then I'm actually trying to destroy. Have you been guilty of it? Just once, and it was my fault. I'm playing. That's what a judge does. He saves or he destroys. Let's say I sinned against you. And let's say you sinned against me. You hurt me. I hurt you. Let's say, and I've been hurt before, and I've hurt people. And I've been hurt by other people that I thought were my brothers and sisters. But the moment that I choose not to talk about what you did to me, at that very moment, I didn't want to destroy you, but I wanted to save you. So a person that talks little, a person that says nothing, is what Jesus Christ is looking for. We're going to take it one step further. A person that says nothing about somebody else is 30-fold. A person that doesn't take note when somebody sins against him is 100-fold. That's where God wants me and you, to a place where it doesn't matter what they say, what they do. He wants me and you to be in a place where it doesn't matter what was done to me or you. We just march right along as true soldiers, as true slaves of Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is the kingdom of God. That is the kingdom of God. That is the kingdom of God. Jesus wants me to love you and you to love me the way He loves me and you. He never openly he never gossiped about any of the 12. The one that betrayed him, he called him friend. We're going to have the opportunity one day again to call somebody friend that sins against me and you. Or will we, not singular, plural, or will we react in the natural and try to destroy our brothers and sisters? The moment that the moment that you talk about somebody's sin towards you or towards me, we become a judge. A judge saves and a judge destroys. Remember that. Remind me of that. I'm like you. I still got a hard hat on. I'm under construction, buddy. I'm still learning. But I'm not who I was 10 years ago. Jesus is coming back, my friends. Moms and dads, He's coming back. Bathe your kids in prayer. Keep your hands clean. This is the biggest misconception in the world. I'm done in 2 minutes. I don't care how often you lay on the floor and cry. I don't care what your favorite worship song is. That doesn't move Jesus Christ. Jesus just doesn't move and doesn't answer prayer. He answers the prayer of the righteous. You can pray the same prayer for 20 years and it won't move Jesus. I don't care how much you cry. I don't care how much you hit repeat of your favorite song on your CD player. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, answers the prayer of a righteous man or woman. One thing that I can't cope with right now, if one of my kids died not having Jesus Christ in their heart, and neither could anybody else in here, and we have a lot to do with that. It's not what I say that ministers, it's what I do that cuts through the heart of people. Wow, man, that man just cussed my dad out then. I thought my dad was going to go off on him. But my dad stopped the car. And he offered up a prayer. Wow, that man just made a pass at my mama. My dad seen him. I thought my dad was going to go off on him. Man, but I remember that day that my dad just pulled over and bowed his knee and prayed for that man. It's always been said, anybody messes with my kids, they better be ready to what? Fight. I said I was going to be done in 2 minutes. Give me 2 more minutes. This last example. Last one, I promise. I'm going through every excuse in the book. Last week with Jesus Prototype Part 1. This is Jesus Prototype Part 2 teaching. And I'm done, I promise. I got to get this through. Give me 5 more minutes. It's still early. I promise I'll be done. I will, I promise. Last week, we read where Simon Peter, that walked with Jesus, denied him 3 times. We talked about how instead of Jesus cutting him up with the word, that Jesus looked at him with a look of compassion. And how we believe that Simon Peter felt all that Jesus was in that look. And we also established Judas Iscariot, that betrayed Jesus for 30 shekels of silver, who ate bread with Jesus that same night, how Jesus called him friend. Another thing that, and I got that revelation the other day, it's not a big one. I'm going through every situation that Jesus ever went through. A death in the immediate family. A lot of people here have gone through. My son Quentin has lost both his biological mother and father. Both of them. Never really knew him. Lupita lost her husband. Her kids lost a good man. Alex, you lost who? Your what? Your dad, he was murdered, you said? Who else has lost somebody in here? Most everybody in here. Some people don't react, or they don't come back from a loss of life. Listen to this. Jesus, the perfect prototype, had his cousin, John the Baptist. He was what? Beheaded in prison. People, as children of God, we can react and come back from anything. Because what Jesus did when John the Baptist was beheaded is incredible. What did Jesus do when he found out that his cousin, whom he loved dearly, was beheaded? What did Jesus do? Anybody, take it. What did Jesus do as a man when he found, as a man, his cousin was killed? How many of you in here think that you love more than Jesus? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you in here think that you love more than Jesus Christ, a man? Raise your hand. Right. Great answer. Jesus, in his humanity, heard about the death of John the Baptist, his cousin. Now, what point are you making? I'm trying to teach you that Jesus is our perfect example, our perfect prototype as a man. Everything that he overcame, guess who can overcome it? Me and you. Do you know what he did? Do you know what he did when they beheaded John the Baptist, his biological, his family, his blood? Do you know what Jesus did? As a man, do you know what he did, Alex? He went immediately and worked miracles. When did Jesus get over the death of his cousin as a man immediately. My friends, he is our perfect example as a man. Some of you have been devastated. You've even held it as a crutch for so long. And that sounds so mean, but it's not. But if Jesus Christ as a man could overcome the death of someone that he loved so dearly, he loved more than we loved, and he was able to overcome that moment in his life immediately. And guess what, my friends? So can me and you. If he overcame trial, then me and you can, because he did it as a man. If he overcame tribulation, then me and you can, because he did it as a man. If he overcame sin, then me and you can, because he did it as a man. He was our perfect example, our perfect prototype. He is all that you need. He'll give you the wisdom to raise your kids, to love your husband, to love your wife. He'll give you that wisdom in his word through his spirit. Jesus Christ is that perfect, perfect example. Not emotionalism. Not tears. Not self-pity. But walking in to Jesus Christ head first. The hour is dark. And it's getting darker, my friends. Satan wants to kill our kids. How many kids have been killed and shot the last year in this little town? Don't think he doesn't have your kid's number. Will you give Satan the authority to kill your child, or will you take a stand in the name of Jesus and do what we're supposed to do in him? Follow the example of perfection. What is perfect? Psalm 18 said this word is holy and undefiled. Pure than the purest of gold. The Holy Spirit is perfect because he's God. God's perfect because he's God. Jesus is perfect because he is. He wants me to love you and you to love me the way he loves me. How's he love me? His ways are unfathomable. Have you ever heard Jesus remind you of your past failures? Has he ever appeared to you in a vision and called you a piece of junk for what you did yesterday? Or has he waited for me and you to lift up our hands and our eyes in sincerity and say, Lord Jesus, cleanse me and forgive me? That is the God that I serve, my friends. And his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ, God, our perfect example, our perfect prototype. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, praise you. Praise you, and we thank you, Lord, for all that you are. For your mercy and your grace, Father. Help me, Lord Jesus, through your word and through the edification process, on how to love my brothers the way you love me, Jesus. Proverbs says that even a fool is counted wise when he holds his peace. To keep my lips sealed, Lord. To conceal matters, Father. It's my heart's desire. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you are. I thank you that you've called me and my brothers and sisters to embrace each other with a holy kiss, Lord. Help me, teach me, judge me, correct me on my error, Father, so that I can see my brothers as you see them, Lord. Even if I got to hug and kiss somebody on the cheek in the flesh, Father, then so be it. That's faith, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you're breaking our hearts. You're breaking our pride through edification, through your word. And I pray, oh God, that in the days to come, that we would all of us, join together in each other's houses, Father, and laugh and rejoice and break bread and partake of your word, Father. put this desire in our hearts, Lord. May we listen to your instruction and love each other first in your kingdom. Then that love will spill out to society, Lord, and we will win them over. So I give you praise, Father. I give you glory, not by what I say, but by how we live. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. When you read the Bible, my friends, read it very slow. Read it slow. Don't try to figure it out, but read it real slow. Let's make a difference for the Lord. Because He is our perfect what? Prototype, our perfect example. Amen. You won't find an error in the lifestyle of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you Wednesday, Sunday, and next Sunday night. Music, Oralia. Thank you. See you all.